RSN 927 Summer Breakfast.
Rostropovich just in front of D'Argento, but here she comes, and the valley roars. Weeks on the outside moves up, takes the lead from Ben Battle, then Rostropovich and D'Argento into the straight at the 200 metres. It's Weeks in front by a length. Ben Battle's going with her. Weeks three quarters, Ben Battle. Weeks is staving off Ben Battle. Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Greatness, Weeks has done it. It's Equine Utopia. Two lengths to Ben Battle, Humidor, then a gap to Avilius.
It makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up every single time you listen to it. The greatest of all time, Winks. It is a very special day for us here at RSN 927. Moonee Valley Racing Club have today launched the Front Runner membership. It's got everything that you want to get back to the track and more. So much value. We'll tell you about it across the morning, but it's all from just $175. TheValley.com.au is where you need to head for more information. We're going to talk to a couple of famous names who have got famous links to Moonee Valley today. None more famous than champion trainer Chris Waller, who I'm sure has some fond and amazing memories from just some of the races that he's witnessed at Moonee Valley. Chris, thank you so much for your time. Good morning.
Absolute pleasure. When I heard that you were doing this, I thought, I want to be involved. It's just such a very, very special place for so many people, and a great display for racing to newcomers. And, what an amazing theatre it is.
Chris, can you remember the actual first time you were there, whether it was as a punter or a trainer, just when you saw how, because it is a unique track.
Yeah, I made a few notes yesterday. The first memory I have of it, when I obviously wasn't there, was Bung Crusher back in 86. Watching from New Zealand as a young lad, I would have been 12 years old, and just seeing that race, and it was two New Zealand horses, and it was just like, wow, this is just one of the greatest sporting moments of all time. And then I got a chance to meet the Ritchie family, and they were just my heroes growing up, and I thought one day if I could get there, it would be pretty special. And first recollection for me at the track myself was, it wouldn't have been my first runner, but it's what I remember, is Dan Lee winning the Manicato. And just walking in there that night and just seeing how close the track is and how, it's just like the horses are running at you and around that bend and home, and just an amazing atmosphere and great watch, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. And then I gather, the dream of winning a Cox Plate would have formed pretty quick as his training career went on, just because of, like you said, the memories of that place.
Yeah, well, most of the Cox Plates when I was training, I was watching from afar, including Sunlines 2 in 99 and 2000. They were just amazing wins. How she used to race from the front and put the others to the sword, basically, and then the track obviously suited her. And I guess she was just an amazing horse and one of those many great champions that Cox Plates unveiled. And again, great advertisement for racing. And so then I had a few runners myself.
Yeah, you could say that.
And it's a pretty bloody hard race to win. It's as simple as that. We took some good horses down, and I got close to the placings, and just such a tough race. Another recollection was we took Rangy Rangdu there. He'd just won an Ipsum.
Yep.
And he was a pretty good horse. Like, his consistency was amazing. He was either winning or running second in like his first 14 starts. He just won an Ipsum. And we're making a decision whether we should run him. He went to the Breakfast of the Stars. Corey Brown was on. Well, he ended up in the crowd. He ducked out the gap at the winning post. So we pulled the pin on the Cox Plate, but he came out the same day and won the Crystal Mile, broke the track record. So if he did things right that day, we might have got a Cox Plate victory earlier. But that was just one of those things. And then, of course, we took Winx back so many times after, and each time she used to go around, I used to think of poor old Ringy and what can go wrong with those Breakfast with the Star mornings.
So, Chris, hearing you talk about you know, your love of Moonee Valley for so long has been really interesting. You get the opportunity with Winx, and as you say, you keep going back and back. What was it like every year with more anticipation and more support growing for this this champion? What was it like for you and walking into Moonee Valley?
The first one was incredible, and it was like the seas parted, and she just came up the fence. And she didn't just win, and like you could see that she was going to win a long way from home. And just experiencing that for the first time was just something I'll never forget. As you know, I get emotional, but it just still sends shivers up my spine now just thinking of it. It was Hugh Bowman and my first really big win. And to win like that, it was pretty special. And I think, like everybody, we thought, gee, that might have just been a fluke, that. Fence was the place to be, and the seas parted. I think she drew barrier one, and it supposedly wasn't the place to draw, and everything unfolded. So I think there was a little bit of speculation for a second one, where the build-up between Hartnell and her was just amazing. Hartnell was running on alternative weeks and winning by 5 or 6 lengths in big races. And we were doing the same, scaring the fields away and racing against smaller fields. And there was a lot of talk that, oh, Winx, she's had a pretty easy time and she's beaten bad horses in Sydney. And so it was on for a match race, as well as others in the race. I think it was Yankee Rose, or a good 3-year-old filly at the time, and a typical Cox Plate field. And they set off at the 800-metre mark, and it looked like it was on for young and old. And like a Waverley Star Bone Crusher type clash. And I took a deep breath and clearly remember it. And fortunately, I didn't have to hold the breath long. She quickly put the race to bed, and there's the so-called chat between Hugh Bowman and James McDonald, with James saying sort of words like "bugger me," as she and she just sailed around on a typical Melbourne day. It was a howling wind and sort of rain and in the spring, and all conditions and all types of scenarios, she was just so dominant. So then the third one, the expectation started from that point on, I think, more so than the second one. And she was the talk of the town. The flags were getting, it was getting more flags, and the sea of blue was starting to appear. And to win the third one, and that was a tough race against Humidor. He gave her a good shake, and showed you don't just take it for granted, because I think she was just expected to bolt in. So that was a bit of a reminder to say, it's not as easy as it might look. And is she getting older? And those were the decisions we were then making at the twilight of her career. So to come back for a fourth one and to break records and have to do things that older horses struggle to do. Again, turning up there, walking into the track, you're a rock star as a connection or a trainer or a jockey or a strapper of the horse. And everyone's saying good luck and you name it. The build-ups, we were learning by that stage how important it was. We were getting involved and trying to talk the race up and for weeks on end. And when, when she hit the front, and she just had a lovely, she just loved the valley. She just got round the track so well. If she was a racing car, she was perfectly set for that type of track. And it's a unique race course. But funnily enough, with that camber they've got, despite being a short straight, most horses get their chance. In fact, I'd rather go there than some other tracks around Australia. Mm. So she loved it. And to win that race and post-race, it was just unbelievable. It was a fitting result for an amazing horse.
I know historically, Chris, you like to be on your own when you watch these races. And have you got a special spot at the Valley where you get some freedom or peace and quiet?
I used to, because I've got a big day at the races, and I've got to work basically the whole day watching horses around Australia, and I'm sort of mapping out programs for them post-race and letting the owners know why they didn't win or how they ran. And we're talking sort of 20 to 30 horses most race days. So I just bury myself in the weighing room there behind the scales. And it's changed a bit over the years. And I'm just sort of stuck in there. I clearly remember one day Shane Dye spotted me. He said, oh, well, this is the second one. He said, oh, gee, your horse is going great. But she won't win today. She can't beat Hartnell. Just Shane Dye as a matter of a fact person who used to say, yeah, I've done the ratings, he's a great horse. Your mare's good, but she can't get near him today. So that was my hiding spot, and it was fully exposed. It broke my heart, but it was, fortunately, half an hour later, he was wrong. And, I used to just come out and watch the race. In the last few years, the cameras were getting quite overwhelming, and I just never felt comfortable. So I just sort of hide, really. I don't want people watching me watch the races. It's just an intimate time that you want to spend on your own. But walking out of that weighing room where I used to watch it after her win was pretty special. The sort of crowd sort of leaning over trying to high five you and things like that. And again, you feel like you've won the race, not the horse.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this morning. As we say, it's a special day here at RSN to celebrate the Moonee Valley Race Club, and you're the perfect person to talk to, and we know you've got a really, really busy schedule. So thanks for finding a few minutes and sharing some amazing memories.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Champion trainer Chris Waller joining us and really letting us in there.
Oh, I'm getting a bit of a tingle, actually. I mean, just those little things that he remembers and about this great track. And I remember the first time I walked in, you do get that. You go, hang on. The horses are literally there. And I know they're going to have changes, and I hope they don't lose that intimate feel. I know things have to be updated, but it's unique, as he says. He prefers that than a lot of other courses. I love punting there.